This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي يا رب العالمين. So alhamdulillah bil alameen, we've reached a portion of the book entitled The Wabil al-Sayyib. It is the shower of good utterances, or it can be translated as invocations of God. There's a translation of this called Invocations of God by Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, or Ibn Qayyim. This book is primarily about dhikr and remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned, it's broken up into roughly three parts. Right now, we're still in the introduction. The second part is he mentions the fadail of dhikr, the benefits of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, he gives the actual adhkar of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What are the things he used to say in different situations in his life? This is a very, very, mashallah, great book. So in the introduction, he talks about a number of principles that is important for us to understand and to learn as Muslims in regards to what is servitude and our understanding of servitude and different aspects of worship. So briefly, we covered, he starts with the dua. He starts with the dua, and the dua is what he terms as the epitome of happiness. And the epitome of happiness, then he breaks it down. He breaks down the particular pillars of, if you will, of this dua, and we have only reached the second portion. So the dua, who remembers what the dua was? It was three things that he said is the epitome of happiness. He said, I ask Allah to make you what? To make you of those, either u'tiya shakar, wa either tuliya sabar, wa either aznaba staghfar. These three. He said, if they were given, they are? Huh? Grateful, shakr, good. Wa idha btuliya sabr, and if they were tested, they are patient. Wa idha aznaba astaghfar, and if they committed a sin, they do what? Seek forgiveness, exactly. And he says, wa ha'ulai thalath unwanu sa'ada. Those three things are the epitome of happiness. So we went into the first, wa idha u'tiya shakr, and he mentioned that shukr has three types. There's three pillars of gratitude. And then he goes into patience, where either tuliya sabr. If he or she was to be tested, they are patient. Then he gives the three pillars of patience, but we still are in the portion of patience. Because when he talked about patience, he goes into being the one that is patient. If they are patient, then their trial becomes a victory. Inqalabat mihnatuhu minha. And then he talks about how within this aspect of worship of patience, the trial becomes a victory, but also the real patience is being given patience in the aspects of servitude and those things which, I don't want to say that you dislike, but it's the things that you do not prefer. Right? And he gave the example, such as making wudu in the hot weather. Is that something that you like, or is it something that you prefer not to do? You'd like. So that is ubudiyyah. Is it servitude? Is it an act of worship? It's an act of worship. If you make wudu in the hot weather, you're like, alhamdulillah, this is saying, alhamdulillah. But wudu in the cold weather, right, that is something that's more of a trial. And he's talking, and then he said, a shatn, wakul shatn, this shatn is really the actions of ibadah fil makare, and those things which you may not prefer. Then he moves on to talk about, here, three things. That the how shaitan tries to take over the ibadah, take over the slave with the complete devotion. And we mentioned a very important issue in worship. He says, "Fil kifayatu tamma ma'al ubudiyyati tamma wa naqisa ma'al naqisa." And that's a very important thing to remember. For kifayatu tamah, with the complete devotion comes a complete sufficiency. When you have this complete devotion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will feel the sufficiency when you perform the acts of worship, performing the salawat. And the level of lack of devotion that you have, you'll feel the lack of sufficiency. So in other words, you get what you put in. Whatever you put in is what you're going to get back from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And rather, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you even much more than that. لِأَنَّهُ ذُو فَضْلٍ عَظِيمٍ. He is the one that is of the great virtue. And Ibn al-Qayyim gives the verse, أَلَيْسَ اللَّهُ بِكَافٍ عَبْدًا. Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not sufficient for him? And we talked about Allah being sufficient for us as Muslims. Now he goes on to talk about the plans of shaitan. He says about after Audhu Billah, he says, وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ رَحِمُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَإِنْ اَغْتَالَ عَدُوُهُ أَحَدَهُمْ كَمَا يَغْتَالُ اللِّسُّ الرَّجُلَ الْغَافِلَ فَهَذَا لَبُدَّ مِنْهُ. He says, and if the servant, or if the enemy was to try to rob him, or take the individual that is negligent, which is apparent, which is something that will happen. He says, when this happens, like the fact that the Satan will try to take advantage and will take advantage of the Rajul al-Ghafil. And Ghafil means the negligent person. He says, لِأَنَّ الْعَبْدَ قَدْ بُلِيَ بِالْغَفْلَةِ وَالشَّهْوَةِ وَالْغَضَبِ. He said, because the servant has been tested with three things. Three things. We're still talking about patience. He says, with negligence, with fulfilling of desires, and with anger. These are the three things they've been tested with. All of us. All of us have been tested with this. He says, وَدُخُولُهُ عَلَى الْعَبْدِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْأَبْوَابِ الثَّلَاثِ. دُخُولُهُ يَعْنِي الْعَدُو. دُخُولُ الْعَدُو عَلَى الْعَبْدِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثِ. He said that the adu, the enemy, will enter in the slave or will affect or influence the slave from these three things. These are the three doors that Satan will affect us from. Whether it's ghafla, negligence, or whether it's shahwa, desires, or ghadab, anger. These three. Then he goes on to say, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَلَوْ احْتَرَزَ الْعَبْدُ مَا احْتَرَزَ فَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ غَفْلَةٍ وَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ شَهْوَةٍ وَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ غَضَبٍ. He says, even if this servant was to try to avoid these things, he said, it has to happen. This will happen. He said, لَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ غَفْلَةٍ. He has to be negligent. There will be an aspect of him being negligent in his lifetime. وَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ شَهْوَةٍ. And there will be a level of desire that he or she has. وَلَا بُدَّ لَهُ مِنْ غَضَبْ. And there will be an aspect of anger that they will have. وَقَدْ كَانَ آدَمُ أَبُو الْبَشْرِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ أَحْلَمَ الْخَلْقِ وَأَرْجَحَهُمْ عَقْلًا وَأَثْبَتَهُمْ وَمَعَ هَذَا فَلَمْ يَزَلْ بِهِ عَدُوُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى أَوْقَعَهُ فِي مَا أَوْقَعَهُ فِيهِ. He says here, in Adam, basically Adam was the individual that is much more sophisticated than us, and his aql was much more greater than us, and he was much more of a higher status than us. But with that, he fell into حتى أوقعه ما أوقعه فيه, that he fell into whatever he fell into, that what shaitan actually, the adu, influenced him to fall into what he fell into. And what was that? Eating from the tree. Because Satan, what did he do? He lured him. How did he lure him? What did he tell him? By telling him what? Right? Or he will be from the angels. Right? So did that make Adam angry? We said the three, right?
Desire.
Shahwa. There's the shahwa, ghadab, and the what? The ghafla. There's the negligence, the falling desire, and the anger. What about ghafla? Could it possibly be an aspect of negligence via desire? Okay. No, that's the negligence, right? So it could be that the negligence could be from the forgetfulness or the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with Satan coming to him through the door of, look, you're going to be like two angels, or you'll be forever. The desire. So even that right there, if we were to pause and think of what are those desires that make us negligent? Those desires that make us negligent. And that is where the jihad, an-nafs, comes in. Fighting the desires that are not beneficial for us. And then he says here, فَمَا ظَنُّ بِفِرَاشَةِ الْحِلْمِ وَمَنْ عَقْلُهُ مِنْ جَنْبِ عَقْلِ عَبِيهِ كَتَفْلَةٍ فِي بَحْرٍ. He's basically comparing, he says, for what is the thought of an individual like Adam alayhi salam with this level of aql, and also that basically like his aql compared to ours is like a drop in the sea, right? Then he says here, وَلَكِنْ عَدُوَ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُصُ إِلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ إِلَّا غَفْلَ إِلَّا غِيلَ عَلَى غِرَّةٍ وَغَفْلَ فَيُوقِعُهُ وَيَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ لَا يَسْتَقِيلُ رَبَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بَعْدَهَا وَأَنَّ تِلْكَ الْوَقْعَةِ قَدْ اجْتَاحَتْهُ وَأَهْلَكَتْهُ وَفَضُّ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَرَحْمَتُهُ وَعَفُوهُ وَمَغْفِرَتُهُ مِنْ وَرَاءِ ذَلِكَ كُلِّ. He's basically saying here that the adu of Allah, the enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will come to the mu'min in a different way and always try to affect him. إِلَّا غَيْلَةً. It's not going to be beneficial to him. He's not going to come and try to benefit you in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى غِرَةٍ وَغَفْلَةٍ. Basically upon that deception and also negligence. So he will cause him for يُوقِعُهُ, and he will cause him to fall into that. So he's basically giving back, talking basically about the same thing what happened to Adam in regards to all of us. And he says, with all of that, what will take place is it will cause him to be destructed and be destroyed. فَفَضْلُ وَفَضْلُ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى وَرَحْمَتُهُ. And he said, the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his mercy and his forgiveness and his pardoning is behind all of that. It's waiting for you. It is waiting for you. But when you fall into this, not if. So basically Ibn Qayyim is saying, when you fall into this and not if, all of the mercy and everything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting, but you have to make the effort. So Ibn Qayyim is showing you that, look, all of these three things will take place. These three things will take place. When one doesn't have the sabr, the lack of sabr can come from one of these three. But know that when, not if this takes place, one of these three, that the mercy, the pardoning, the love is waiting for you. It's waiting for you. So then Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala continues on to say, فَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا فَتَحَ لَهُ بَابًا مِنْ أَبْوَابِ التَّوْبَةِ والندم والانكسار والذل والافتقار والاستعانة به وصدق اللجأ إليه ودوام التضرع والدعاء والتقرب إليه بما أمكن من الحسنات. So now he's moving on to the third part of the dua that he made, which is istighfar. And if he was to perform a sin, he or she would be seeking forgiveness. So Ibn Qayyim just naturally, organically moves on to it. So you have to catch it. So he says here, فَإِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا فَتَحَ لَهُ بَابًا مِنْ أَبْوَابِ التَّوْبَةِ. And this is another qa'idah, another rule for us to understand in relationship to Allah. He said, and if Allah wants good for his slave, his servant, he opens the door of tawbah for him or her. Why is this important? Listen to how Ibn Qayyim said it. If Allah wants good for the slave, for his slave, he opens the door of tawbah for him. What the way that he said it, what do we understand from this? Okay, Allah is blessing him from stopping him from doing the sin. Okay, we can say stopping.
Basically, realization. The moment you start asking forgiveness, meaning that you have realized you made a mistake.
Oh, it's opposite. You realize you made a mistake, then you ask for forgiveness. So Allah, the fact that you realize you made a mistake is a blessing. That's blessing number one. And then blessing number two is what? Asking for forgiveness. How many people realize they made a mistake? They don't care. How many Muslims realize they made a mistake? They could care less. No? You realize you made the mistake. وَتَذْكُرُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أو ظلموا أنفسهم ذكروا الله فاستغفروا لذنوبهم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the process. He says, and those that if they were to, إذا فعلوا فاحشة, if they were to do a lewd act, sinful act, or if they were to oppress themselves, ذكروا الله, they remember Allah. فاستغفروا لذنوبهم. And they seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they remember and then they act upon it. So that in and of itself is a blessing. So when you think of this just small bab, small aspect of worship, chapter of worship, being seeking forgiveness from Allah. The fact that you're making an effort, the fact that you remember and you feel bad is a blessing. Nadam. And then making the effort to raise your hands or just saying astaghfirullah when you're by yourself, when you're in a bad place even. Right? You say astaghfirullah. That's a blessing. Because there are people that could care less. No? And that's important. With that reality that you're you're seeking forgiveness from Allah, you feel bad at the moment. And that's what Ibn al-Qayyim continues on to say. He says, Fataha labu. What's fataha? You know, that takes a small Arabic on the way, brother. All of you should know the verb fataha. What is fataha? What's the first chapter of the Quran? So he says, Allah says, Fataha lahu bab. Bab is door. So he opens the door of forgiveness. And then he says, Wan nadam. And nadam is regret. Wal inkisar. Yeah, subhanAllah. Ibn Qayyim, subhanAllah, is a doctor of the hearts, mashallah. He uses different words to explain the situation of the soul and of the heart. So the first one is Tawbah. And remember, translating it into English is not enough, wallahi. It's really not enough. Just what we just talked about was just Tawbah. He says, Nadam. Nadam is like regret. Now, you regret what you did. Well, Inkisar. Inkisar, Kasara means to break something that is broken. So what's the connection with broken and this subject matter? Like your heart is broken. You feel you are. When you think about it, Yes, this is an aspect of guilt. You feel so guilty, like your heart crumbles. Your heart is broken from this. Inkisar. Wadhul. And dhul means to debase oneself. Debasement. Low. To lower yourself. Right? Well, iftiqar. Iftiqar, faqara. What is faqar? Faqir. What is faqir? Huh? The one in need. So the one that is poor, faqir means like poor. Right? Innama sadaqatu lil fuqara wal masakin. So the faqir is the one that is in need. So when you have a sense of regret, you reflect and you feel that you're in need. Yeah, Allah, without you, I wouldn't be successful. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. My success is not without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when I commit this sin, I feel terrible. My heart is broken. I'm full of regrets. I feel low. I lower myself. When I prostrate, I lower myself literally for the one that is the most high. And I feel that I need to be enriched. Min al-ghani, wal al-mughni, the one that enriches and the one that is self-sufficient by himself. I am in need. I am poor. I am in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Then he goes on to say, wal isti'ana to be, wal isti'ana to bihi. Isti'ana is seeking help with him. Right? Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka. Nasta'in is what he's saying. You're seeking help. وَالصِّدْقُ اللَّجَئِ إِلَيْهِ. He says, صِدْق is truthfulness or veraciousness or being truthful. Right? Leja, to give you an idea of what leja is, you would call someone that seeks asylum, laji. So what's the connection? I want y'all to really... Because when the ulama speak, every word they use has an intention, but make no mistake, especially Ibn Qayyim. Make no mistake behind it. When the scholars of the past write these books, yani, this is, firstly, it's from what's called istiqra. Istiqra al-nusus. Like they read, yani, we can't even, they're encyclopedias, they're polemics. So when they write, it's from, yani, Ibn Qayyim, there's a book called Zad al-Ma'ad. In Arabic, the Arabic that's well known of the book Zad al-Ma'ad, 7 volumes. 7 volumes. He wrote it while he was on the donkey. He wrote it traveling. The books that they write sometimes are answers to questions, but it turns into a book. Do y'all follow y'all follow me? Like when these scholars write, they write, yani, subhanAllah. So when he's saying all of these words, plus it's the Arabic language, each word has a different situation and scenario of the heart. So it's deep. So here he's saying, وَصِدْقَ اللَّجِئِ إِلَيْهِ. So اللَّجِئِ is the one that seeks asylum. And in another book he has called Risala Tabuqiyya, he talks about fleeing from Allah to Allah. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. No. Tafir is like to escape. But he's saying, فِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Escape from something to him. That's why he says, from Allah to Allah. What's the dua of the Prophet ﷺ? لا منجا ولا ملجا منك إلا إليك. Yani, he says that there is no retreating, right, or success from you. Or what does it say? لا منجا ولا منجا منك إلا إليك. How would we translate that? Nah. Like najat, there is no, how do you call it? Can't translate it in Arabic. Malja is like to seek asylum or to seek help, to retreat to someone. I always say manja, ikhwan. Manja. Escape. Survival. Right. Najat, survival. Right? Escape, survival. Mink from you, except to you. And then there's another dua of the Prophet. Wa'udhu. Bika, what? Minka. Just think about it. A'udhu bika, minka. Oh, we have an Arabic student. What does that? What does that mean? What does that mean? He studied Arabic here. What does a'udhu bika, minka? What does a'udhu mean? Okay. No. Just think about that. Right? From you means from your adab, your punishment. With you means with your beautiful names and attributes. So there's no Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will see with the muntaha. So then he says, وَدَوَامُ تَضَرُّعُ. And then he says, and consistently seeking and beseeching you. وَالدُّعَى and dua. وَالتَّقَرَّبِ إِلَيْهِ بِمَا أَمْكَنَ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ. And then now he's saying, and getting close to him from what is possible from the hasanat. And make no mistake that anything that you practice in the deen of Islam, that you practice from what Allah has legislated, is a hasana. With that, al-ashratu bi-amthaliha. Right? So whatever hasana you do, it can be multiplied. The salah. How is it multiplied? What did the Prophet ﷺ say about the salah? Jama'ah. 25 or 27 times. No. So the action of good that you're doing, multiply. And this is so many opportunities. And then we'll end here. So when he mentions all of that, he said, وَتَقَرَّبِ إِلَيْهِ بِمَا أَمْكَنَ مِنَ الْحَسَنَاتِ مَا تَكُونُ تِلْكَ السَّيِّئَةُ بِهِ سَبَبَ رَحْمَتِهِ. He says, when he mentions all these aspects of worship and devotion, he says, and coming close to him with what is possible from the good deeds, ma takunu, that evil deed becomes a means for mercy, or for his mercy. That's fiqh of the religion, ya ikhwan. That is, wallahi, Rahmullah ibn al-Qayyim, nasallahu yarhamun, rahmullah ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah. Like he just said, yani subhanallah. He just talked about all of these different aspects of worship. Seeking forgiveness, huh? Tawbah, your heart is broken, regrets, seeking refuge in him. All of this and that which makes that evil deed a means to his mercy. How is that? Who can explain that? Did everyone understand my question?
A person can commit a sin, and that sin could be the reason for him to return to Allah subhanahu wa
ta'ala. No. Isn't that a level of motivation? How many times do we talk to, especially like the youth, or someone that's trying to come? Almost every one of us has a family member that is not, you know, that is probably not doing what they're supposed to do religiously, right? They're not praying. Something happened to them. So, and then when they try to come back, shaitan will come. Who do you think you are? Right? Shaitan, you're going to start praying now? Right? And they have all of these things mentioned. Inkisar, iftiqar, their heart is broken. They feel terrible. They're full of regret. Shaitan will come to them at that time. This is fake. What is this? Who do you think you are? All those sins you committed, Allah is going to forgive you in one night? 27th? Come on. Right? Shaitan is going to come to him. But that's where it's important for individuals that you may see somebody, you feel that they're down because of the sin, which is good, but you tell them no. Just like we were talking about. The fact that you feel bad is a good thing. Continue. Continue. Seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue on asking because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never let you down. He will never let you down. So that sin that he committed was the means that, and this is where we tie into what pillar of Iman? Qadr. Qadr. That sin that you committed was what Allah used to show you something. But are you continuing to search? You see that, you feel terrible, then you seek forgiveness. And that's why Ibn al-Qayyim, he goes on to talk about, then he's going to go on to talk about this, and we'll talk about next week, inshallah. How the sin is a means for Allah's mercy. How the sin is a means for Allah's mercy. And subhanAllah, this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not make us like what other form of creation? No. He did not make us like the angels. لِحِكْمَةٍ بَالِغَةٍ For a reason, a wisdom that is an amazing wisdom. We're just getting a jewel of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wallahi, no one can bring that out except an alim. No one can bring this out and just break step by step except an alim. Except a person of a scholar. Because they have, like I said, istiqra. They read the nusus. They read the kitab and the sunnah. They go through it. They live it. They live it. Wallahi. Now, so we'll stop there, inshallah. Ibn al-Qayyim again in conclusion. Talking about how shaitan will try to rob us, and that is something that will definitely happen. How shaitan will definitely try to rob us of our good deeds, and he will rob us by three doors. And what are those three doors that he will come through?
Desire.
Anger. Negligence, right? And then he gave the example with Adam. He said, if this took place with Adam, it could definitely happen with us. Because Adam was the best of creation. He was a prophet, alayhi salam. No? But then after that, he talks about how shaitan will try to do this to us. And then he says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for his slave, he will open the door of what for him? Forgiveness. And he mentioned the different types of ways or different things that will happen in our heart that will cause us to seek forgiveness. And then he concludes by the beginning of the next portion, which we'll talk about, how those actions were done because of a sin. And that sin is the means that Allah uses to reach his mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that seek his mercy and always allow this beseeching of mercy to be continuous. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that when we commit any sin, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek forgiveness from him. And if sirran wa alaniya, open and in secret. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those that continually read his beautiful book of the Quran al-Kareem and especially this month of Ramadan, to this month coming of Ramadan, to make us of those that are continuous in reading this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhab an-nar. Allahumma irham ibn al-qayyim ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma irham ibn al-qayyim ya rabbal alameen. Allahumma irham ulama'ana ya rabbal alameen. اللهم صل المستضعفين في سوريا وفي تركيا يا العزيز يا قوي يا المتين يا ذا الجلال والإكرام وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.